here we are. Good morning. Thursday, June the 27th, 2019, 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, Scott Spears, and this morning, very special guest, Terry Tackett. We are all here on this beautiful Thursday. Summer has come. I don't want to jinx us by saying that, but it seems as though it has come and the rain has let up a little bit, and thank goodness for all that. Pastor, always good to be with you here on a Thursday morning.
It is good to be here this morning. You know, I wonder sometimes this early in the morning how many people are up and awake in the summertime. I know everyone going to work is, but I'll tell you what, you know what amazes me is how kids sleep in today. I mean, they will sleep. I was never allowed to. My mom was one of those, get out of bed, get dressed, eat a piece of toast, and go outside. I'm locking the door till lunchtime.
Well, it is interesting because what I have noticed over the years is that people who have early shifts, when they have days off, they're able to sleep. I mean, I've never got that.
You know, years ago I drove a semi, and when I did, I was always sleeping in rotations. I mean, because of the time off that you're mandated. So you never sleep at the exact same time. So I got in a place where I could just literally fall asleep anywhere, anytime. But other than that, I know that it was 2:30 this morning. I was sitting on the edge of the bed, and my wife said to me, she said, "You all right?" I said, "Yeah, I just can't sleep. You know, I got stuff on my mind. I just can't sleep." Well, right after that, I did fall asleep, so that was a good thing. But, hey, what a beautiful day it is out. Gorgeous day. And, you know, I was looking at the forecast, and we knew this was going to happen. After all this rain, we now have some gorgeous weather out there.
We really do, and it's warm, and kids are out. And I actually heard somebody yesterday complaining about the heat. Hey, we'll take it.
What are your dogs, folks? What are your dogs and animals outside? Keep them in the shade if they're outside. It's very, it's just a sad thing when you see it. And kids in cars. I want to tell you something out there, too. Anybody out there ever sees a kid in a car and it's hot and you get in the car's locked, break the window and get them out of there. Worry about the repercussions later. That kind of stuff just breaks. That's two things that breaks my heart. Horribly is kids and animals being abused. And one of the main things about animals is with me is that, you know, they don't have the mentality of much more than a little toddler anyway, and they depend on you to take care of them. Once you take that animal in, it's taken care of by you, or it's not taken care of, just like with our children. And so we need to, you know, be real conscientious out there.
Well, it's kind of a strange thing because I don't think that's something the parents do intentionally.
Oh, no.
I think they're in a rush. I think they don't want to take the kid in because they think, oh, maybe they'll break something or something of that nature. But it is a hazard. It's an absolute hazard.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. When it comes to that thought, last week I was working at Delaware County. 4-H had a massive yard sale, and they have several prep days getting ready for it. People dropping stuff off the fairgrounds and putting it up and putting it on tables. Well, my daughter Kelly and I went to work for a 2-hour shift there to do that. And Kelly, as you know, had a baby. Meredith's 3 weeks old now. And Kelly had a sling on the front of her with Meredith in the sling, and she was working, sorting clothes and hanging clothes and working right there while the baby was sleeping on her belly. And, you know, those kids are precious. And we can still do things, but you got to watch them. You got to keep them with you. And those little ones can get away fast, too. You know, I did want to mention this morning that at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, we're doing some outreach starting on the 2nd. We'll be doing some stuff in the community, some ramps, some cleanup. And we have the youth doing that and the adults, too. And we're having a great worship time at the church in the evening before and then afterwards also. We're going to eat... we're going to have a small meal before we go out. You know, that always gets everybody ready to go. Because when you start in an early evening, people can't, you know, get a chance to eat dinner. I'll tell you guys a funny story. I went out. We were partnering with a church in South Carolina several years ago. And they did this thing where they go out in the evening. They called it The Way. And anyway, a couple from Marriott, from here in Prospect, Steve and Karen Smith, went down with us on this mission trip. Matter of fact, there were a bunch of us there. And it's a rather large church, and it was time to eat this meal. And we walked into the room and we got a plate and we got walked around the corner and here's this long table and it's got all this bread on the table. It's got mayonnaise on the table and these huge slices of tomato. Well, Steve walks up and he puts a slice of tomato on his sandwich. He looked at me and goes, "Where's the table with the meat?" I said, "This is it, man. You know, we're in the South now. Tomato sandwiches are it." And everybody, that was it. But I'll tell you what, that week, I really got a real taste for tomato sandwiches.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The other day, I was watching a cooking show, and they were doing the recipe for fried tomatoes. And, you know, those are very good, and that is a meal in and of itself. It's not necessarily the health plate, but it's very good.
Yeah, you remember the movie Fried Green Tomatoes?
Oh, yeah.
Poor guy.
Well, yeah, you know, it's an interesting... I tell you, I was thinking about that movie, obviously, while I was watching this program, and it put me in the mind of Jessica Tandy, who was in that movie.
Right.
And I'm so sad that she did not... I mean, she was an older lady when that movie was made. That she did not live longer. Because sometimes when you die, well, obviously, you're not making any more movies. So a lot of the generation doesn't get to see what you did. And some of the movies she did, I don't know if Fried Green Tomatoes was one of them, but there were some very consequential things that she did that don't have bad words in them, that you can watch with your kids, that are just very good movies. She was really a very unique actress.
She really was. And, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, some of those movies, that one's become kind of iconic. And a lot of people don't live to see, you know, to the extent those things happen. Even in a book. I mean, there's a lot of books that later on, and things take life later on, and people don't get to see that. Hey, I teach out of a book every week that's a couple thousand years old, and it's as relevant today as it was in the day that it was written. And I think it's pretty cool. It's pretty alive, too. You know, that's one thing interesting about the Bible, excuse me, is that it's timeless. I mean, everything in it is so timeless. I mean, of course, we have the history in the Old Testament, the history of Israel and everything, and coming up to the time of Christ. And but there's wonderful lessons in that and truths in that also. And everything points to Christ and to the cross in the Old Testament. But you know, everything that, you know, if you, I was reading the Beatitudes yesterday, which is, you know, in Matthew chapter 5. And it's just amazing how relevant and up to date, and if you live by those things today, they're as beneficial as they were the day they were written. And it's kind of interesting.
Well, I think it's somewhere to look for peace in all cases, because the most traumatic things you ever go through in life, sometimes you need help. You
know, oh, absolutely.
Well, this is the thing, and I was reading an article on this the other day, that the hardest thing for human beings to be is vulnerable, because vulnerability, a lot of people see as a sign of weakness, I guess.
I would completely agree.
Yeah.
And it used to be that it was men that really struggled with feeling vulnerable. But I'll be honest with you, as things inside have changed, women really struggle with feeling vulnerable. They feel more of a need to be in charge and be a hold of themselves and not open up. And I've had so many people, even in counseling, tell me that, you know, I just really have trouble. And they'll always tell you the same thing. I've been hurt before. You know, I've opened up and I've been burnt. And, you know, one of the saddest things to me is when someone has had that happen to them and refuses to open their heart again. We've got to get over that and move on. Life changes. People change. You're going to get burned, but it's how you look at it.
Well, it's interesting to me because it's odd that I would read or see this. I can't remember which in this particular week, because there is a girl who I've worked with for like 6 years and just never really known. We say hello when we see each other. That's about it. But for some reason, this past week, we've just had more of a conversation. I guess we've had more time on our hands. And I learned some of her backstory in just the last year, a lot of the bad stuff that's been going on in her life. And I would have never known that by just saying hello to her when I see her. But see, you never know what people are going through. No. You never really know.
And when people put themselves out there and are vulnerable, you know, the thing in the back of their mind is, am I in a story of the Emperor's new suit or new clothes? You know what I mean? You know, Harry thought he was doing that, and then everyone's seeing something that they didn't want him to see. And, excuse me, I think when you can tap into that person's vulnerability and let them know it's okay, you can grow miles in a relationship. You truly can. And I urge people, you know the old thing, take your mask off. You know, because so many of us wear masks on a regular basis. And it's because we're afraid people will see the real us. So we have this facade, this persona we put on. And it may be a tough guy. It may be a tough lady. It may be a lot of different things. But when you start stripping away those layers and that mask, you see who's really there. And, you know, I tell people this all the time, and it'll kind of make sometimes big, tough guys cringe. But I'll say, you know, everyone out there has a deep desire in their heart to be loved. You can say all you want. You know, I hear people say, oh, you know, I'm the way I am, and I don't care. People don't like me. You know, that's just too bad. I got one word to say for that, and I'm not sure it's in the dictionary. Hooey. Because it's just not true. Everyone truly desires to be liked and cared about. And they can put on the tough. Usually when they're putting on that, it's because they're afraid of opening that door, letting that vulnerability curtain down. And I really try to encourage people to not be so callous that they're not willing to give love a chance and not willing to give God a chance. Because, you know, I'll be honest with you, if you guys knew me, and, you know, I say that a lot, that I'll be honest with you phrase. I don't know why I do that all the time. I try to be honest all the time, so I guess it's not just that moment, right? But anyway, when I was younger, if you guys knew me when I was in my early 20s, I could be kind, but I was pretty abrasive. And not only pretty abrasive, but I could not be so kind all the time. And, you know, as I began to, my relationship with Christ grew, and I realized the love that he wanted me to have, it just became a natural thing to care about people. And when you care about people, you're not as abrasive. For instance, I don't want to hurt you. If you're going to talk to me, I don't want to hurt you. And you know, that's one of the hardest things for me as a pastor, when there's going to be things that if we believe the Word of God and we follow, that we're not always going to agree with in society. And when you don't agree with someone and someone calls you a hater because you don't agree with them, I don't hate anyone. I love everyone. And I could disagree with you on many areas. Some might even surprise you that I would disagree with or even agree with. But the point is, because I have certain convictions does not mean that I hate anyone. I have friends from probably every spectrum you could imagine. And people that I love and care about. But I don't change my convictions in order for that to happen.
Well, and that's what you have to do. And I think that's where vulnerability lies. I think that's where it starts and ends, is that you have to be able to do certain things like that, like what you just said. You can't be abrasive all the time. It's hard to be abrasive and vulnerable at the same time.
Oh, it truly is. And you know, one of the other things is that as we start to care about other people more than ourselves, and I believe that you do that through the love of Christ, when we start to care about people more than we care about ourselves, at some point we get to the point where we don't have to wear that mask. We're not trying to put on a show for someone.
It's the old saying, it'd be the old saying, like, you're comfortable in our own skin.
Yeah, exactly. You are. Yeah. And you know, part of it, and you don't have to worry about being promoted and out there. And people say, oh, look at so-and-so. No, it's not about that. You know, I think it's just kind of like this radio show I was thinking on the way in, that, you know, there's people sometimes in radio or TV or whatever that they'll play it till their last breath because they have to have that attention. And sometimes, you know, even Paul Harvey quit when he couldn't do it, and he realized I'm too old. But the point is that in this particular venue, and being able to talk and encourage people, if you wanted to use, we're on radio. If you wanted to use a change up voice and people didn't even know it was me, it'd be fine with me because it's not about me. It's about the words coming out and what's being said. And that's one thing we got to get away from too, is that it's real easy to do anytime that you're in front of people all the time, whether it is a radio show or being a pastor or whatever, that you don't start getting that pride or saying, look at me, or desiring it, so to speak. And we can let down our guard and our vulnerability when we're being, dare I say this word, honest? I mean, honest with ourselves.
How dare you?
Honest with who we are.
Yeah.
Terry just stepped in. Terry's on the mic now. Scott had to step away. Welcome you, Terry.
Thank you. But no, I mean, you're 100%. That's what I think, is that we should be in that regard. We should be honest.
Very much so.
We don't. There's no need for us really to be
anything but.
But honest. Because in the end, guess what we're going to have to be?
Honest. You know, you're right. There will be no lying in the end. But, you know, if we live by our convictions and we don't put them behind us because for whatever reason, we can be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times when there's things you're convicted about but you won't deal with them and you put them back here, it's one more thing in that closet you're afraid someone might see. And or is constantly nagging at you. We just need to come out and be who we are, and truly be who we are. And I know that with myself in Christ, it's real easy to know where I should be because I have a guide. It's called the Bible. And if I have a question in my life or anything else, I can go to that guide. You know, we're pretty blessed today. First of all, when the Bible was written, it was not written in verse and chapter. That was added later as the Bible was translated so people could read it easier. So we have the blessing of verse and chapter. We have this thing in the back called a concordance that you can look up a key word and it'll take you to all the verses with that key word. And many Bibles today even have sections on anxiety, fear, love, stealing, whatever you want to make, and it'll take you to those areas. So we've been blessed with something that's pretty easy to do, and we really don't have an excuse to not do it. Bibles are things, one of the things that is the most easy accessible thing there is out there. And if you want one, come to our church. There's a whole bunch of them when you walk in the door. And we'll gladly give you one. But, you know, I believe, and a lot of people think that there's somehow in the church and in Christianity, true love, true Christianity, which is being the bride of Christ, as we're called, is somehow binding, somehow not fun, somehow regimented and stiff. And actually, it's just the opposite. It's extremely free, because when you try to do what's right, and you commit to doing what's right, and desire to walk with Christ, it takes that face off. It takes those masks off. And like you just said, you are comfortable in your own skin. And what a wonderful place to be. Mm-hmm. I think that if more people could do, I'll tell you who would lose a lot of money in this situation if everyone were that way. A lot of the clothing designers, a lot of the makeup companies, a lot of the, you name it. Because we put on a facade of what we want people to think about us, whether it's what we wear, what we want people to think we represent, whether it's a team shirt, or, you know, or the dressed out in the full regalia, man, you're ready to go. I had a friend one time that would go to the bars during Bengals games in a Bengals helmet, a Bengals jacket, Bengals pants, and Bengals shoes, and Bengals gloves. I never did understand how he held a drink with those gloves. But he would do this stuff. And it was kind of comical. But, you know, he wanted people, look, this is how I want to be represented. But, you know, I love being myself. And some people might not like myself, and I'm sorry for that. I'm not going to say, I don't care if, you know, like I said earlier, I don't [S2] Right. [S1] Care if anyone likes me. That's not true. I want people to like me to the point that they like Christ. You see what I mean? I want me to point them to Christ. I don't want people to like me because of who I am.
You don't want to sacrifice, you know, for him for them to like you.
Exactly. Yeah. Perfect point.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
he has to be up front all the time.
Absolutely.
He has to be. When they see me, they need to see him.
Well, you would think that, I mean, obviously it's a package deal. They know that if they like you, they're obviously going to have to like Christ because they know you like Christ, you know, so therefore...
Right, and I think that...
You would think that nobody is not going to not like you. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know if I'm explaining it, but you know...
No, right.
They're not going to not like you because they know where you stand with, you know.
And one thing that I've got to be careful of is if I'm representing Christ, I got to be careful then sometimes to make sure that I don't slip and do something stupid.
Right.
And if anybody that knows me very well knows that A, I can be scatterbrained, B, I can be clumsy, and I am known to say, whoops.
but remember, we're not perfect.
No, we're not. None of us are perfect.
So if you do slip up, so what? I mean, you're not perfect. You know, I mean,
yeah.
That's what we have to get out of. We're not.
But I think the more that we try to follow and be the person we're supposed to be and follow Christ, the easier it is. I'm not going to say to be perfect.
Right.
The easier it is to be in a pattern of doing what's right.
Right.
And those things that were wrong won't pop up so even. Now, just like a minute ago, when I was talking about my friend, my old friend Bill that used to go to the bar dressed in the Bengals.
Right.
You know,
right.
Some people might take that as I just said that I was, you know, no. I'm talking about what Bill did.
Right.
And it really doesn't matter if I did back then.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Christ has forgiven me.
Absolutely.
For anything that I ever did and ever will do. And that's what's so cool. I mean, you're not just forgiven. When you give your life to Christ, you're just not just forgiven for the things you've done. He forgave you for everything you ever will do. I mean, that's pretty cool. And that's something to be very, very grateful for. Because we can't do it.
Gives you a great future to look forward to.
Well, of course it does.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wish more people would see that and understand that. And, you know, that's the purpose of the church, ultimately. Whether we're doing missions or whatever we're doing is to lead people to Christ. And if we're not doing it, then we're missing it. Mm-hmm. You know, when he talks about in Scripture, in the Beatitudes, of being that light on the hill, or being salt and light, flavoring. That flavoring means to flavor society with him. Everything is about him. That light is not you being a beam. Look at me. The light that they comes from you is his light that they see, and it draws people to him.
Yeah.
Think about it, Terry. If I seem to really enjoy life, and people think, man, that's pretty great. I wonder why he thinks that way or feels that way. Honestly, they shouldn't have any question if they know me very long why I think that way or feel that way. It's because of Christ in me, because without Christ, I'm that old Steve again that could be very abrasive, that could chew you out in a heartbeat, you know, that was, I'm just not that person anymore. And you know, what brought me to that point years ago of being that way was a lot of things that happened. That caused you to put on a mask, to put on a shell, to put on a hard shell. I had a very hard adolescence, I should say. You know, we lost a home to fire. My dad's killed in a car wreck. We had to move several times. It was just bang, 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 bang. And some of the other things I don't want to get into because they're even more they're worse. But the point is that stuff can if you feel victim, you'll follow that. But, you know, Christ liberates you from that. And when I look at that, I think, well, my life was piece of cake compared to some people I see. And when I see joy in people that by all means, by all the world's standards, should be unhappy and sad and a mess and a basket case. And when I see those people with a smile on their face praising Jesus, I shared a story of a little girl in service a week ago. I have her Bible. And it's an old Gideon Bible with large print. And she passed away when she was 12 years old from cancer. And I remember her so well as a little girl in church, always praising Jesus and talking about Jesus. And the reason this particular Bible is interesting is her name was Joanne Hess, by the way. I want to point that out. Her name was Joanne. And when Joanne was in the hospital towards the end of her life, she had a brain tumor in her vision. It was affecting her optic nerve, and she wasn't seeing as well. And we didn't have all the things back in the 70s that are available now, and as far as reading and whatnot. So her grandpa was a Gideon and brought her in one of the books they normally put in nursing homes with great big letters. And this little girl cherished that book, and she underlined in that Bible all the verses that talk about how wonderful Jesus' love is, and how much he loved us, how much he cares for us, and how we should praise him. And I thought to myself, this is a 12-year-old little girl with faith like that, and going through something. She knows she's not coming out the other end on this earth whole. She knew that, but she looked forward to her time in heaven. And what an example to those of us that have a tendency to cry or whine about little things or our life. And I don't mean to make light of what people go through, but they don't have to go through it alone, Terry. I mean, my mom wrote in my Bible when I graduated from high school, in parentheses, one with God is a majority. And that stuck with me for years. Now, I didn't live by that for a long time after that, you know, as a young man. But when I look back at that, I never forgot it. When I look back on it, think about that. You know, the world can be, everyone can be against you, but and you can be by yourself. But if you're doing what God wants you to be and you're walking with God, you're the majority because God wins. God's bigger than all of us. I it was funny. I was thinking yesterday about a cartoon, and I wish that I could draw. My family, my brother and my sisters, my word, a couple of them, Kathy can't, but the others, they can draw anything. They can illustrate. They're beautiful artists like my mother was. But I can't do those things. I have the thoughts. I just can't put them on paper. But I was thinking about, you know, these people that are boldly standing out there. I don't care what God says. You can have your God and all this. Where's God at anyway? And I thought about drawing this illustration where there's this giant God in the background that you have to look to see because it's so big, it is the background, and some guy about about a quarter of an inch high, standing there saying, "Where's he at? You know, he's right there, buddy, and he's real big." So, you know, wish that I had sometimes that I could do those things, and you, then thoughts come to your mind. You right. Can't get them on paper.
Yeah, but I'm the same way. I mean, I can tell you all day long, but to forget it.
You know, it's just like music. I love music. I enjoy all kinds of music. There's some I don't, but very. Yeah, but anyway, anything that has any talent behind it, I think I like it. Mm. But anyway, I can't play it. And sing, I love listening to sing. I can't carry a tune with a backpack.
Yeah.
You know, I am just one of those people. I'm Doll Steve, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just can't do those things.
Right.
And that's fine with me.
Well, I always have on my bucket list is that I want to learn to play the guitar.
Me too. I've started. I have three.
Really?
Yeah. I have guitars. I have violins. Don't ask me why I have violins.
Yeah.
I have a granddaughter I thought might want to pick up the violin, so I picked up a violin, and she... Actually, I picked up two violins. But anyway, that's beside the point. No, I'm not a hoarder. My wife might differ, but I'm truly not a hoarder. But no, I can't play anything.
Yeah.
No.
I always wanted to, but...
You know, I am, yeah. Some of us are just visionaries, right,
exactly,
Terry?
Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting that whole Terry brought up, and I wouldn't expect not Terry, Scott brought up that whole vulnerability thing, and people are afraid to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I know that women really struggle sometimes because of opening their lives up to someone and then having their heart stomped on, and what I think sometimes we forget about is that it happens to men too. And it really happens to children. I think a lot of the kids that are so hard and calloused have been through way more than we ever know. There's nothing like loving mom and dad, and then all of a sudden mom or dad walks out the door, and they're not there. Or you love your mom. You know, kids see mom and dad as a unit, and that's a secure unit to them. And when all of a sudden that unit's broke, It's devastating. I remember a time shortly before my father was killed in an accident when I was a young teenager. Well, I just turned 13. But you know, for the year or so prior to that, he and my mom were having trouble. And I remember laying in my bed at night listening to them. And it was like my whole world ended. You know, I used to just pray to God that before anything happened to them, that he'd take me, do something, because I couldn't stand to think of my parents apart. And I don't think that parents often see what it does to children when they go their own way. You know, marriage is a commitment. It's a life contract between you and God and that person. And if you always put that person first and they put you first, there's not going to be a problem. Think about that. Because you're not going to want to hurt them, and they're not going to hurt you. There's peaks and valleys in marriages. There's ups and downs. There's days that my wife probably wants to hug me to pieces, and there's days she'd like to punch me right in the nose, or worse. But you know, you get through those times, you come back, and there's always good. You can't let a wandering eye happen. You can't put yourself in a situation where you're around a single person from the opposite sex. If you're married and you're working too close with somebody all the time, you got to be so careful. And another thing is that if don't be running around. If you're married, don't be running around with divorced people. Because they don't have the right attitude at that time towards your marriage. In other words, it didn't work for me, and now I don't think it's really working for you. You need to tell him to take a hike. I've seen that so many times. And we have situations where we end up with, I think what they call, we call them man-haters. Yeah. And there's also woman-haters out there. Yeah. You know, they've had a rough time, so they're going to tell all their buddies, you know, I'll tell them this and do that and go do you. You know, you can't do that. Another thing with that is you know, girls' night out. That's a scary thing in a marriage. Men's night out. How about you and your wife and friends go out? Or you and your wife go out? That's going to make a little better marriage than you know. I don't want to sit at home and wonder what's going on with my wife or you know. I wouldn't want to wonder, you know, hitting on when they, not my wife, but you know, a lot of times go out and they hit all these clubs or bars and stuff. What guy's hitting on my wife? Why is she even in that situation? And we see this happen, and then all of a sudden there's an affair someone finds out about, and the kids are broken, and mom moves another guy in, or dad moves another lady in, and then there's a, oh, it's horrible for kids, and they're just broken. I see it daily. We deal and work with a lot of kids in town, and I've seen it over the years, the kids growing up and how devastating it is to them. And that's where a lot of that shell starts, too, putting on that false persona of someone you want people to see. You want to put on that false smile.
Well, and for kids also, too, I mean, then it's got to be difficult for them. You know, that's why they're walking around the way they are, because their mindset is so, you know, I mean...
Sure.
You know, one week you got mom and dad, you know, now like you said, now I got to totally adjust my... You know, my mindset here, because, you know, there's another, how's this lady, you know, how am I going to be with her, or how she, you know, or vice versa, or this guy, or, you know, or whatever. And
one thing I know about drugs and alcohol are that drugs and alcohol momentarily take the pain away.
Yeah.
They do. That's why people do them. I know the first time that I dabbled in any of that stuff, it was, man, this is great. I just feel good, and I'm not worried about the things that are burdening me and weighing on me. We don't need to have teenagers today that have so many burdens that they have to find something to ease it. And we put them in that situation, be it pushing them too hard in sports, pushing them too hard in drama and show choir and whatever they're doing. We push kids today. I was never pushed. I had responsibilities and things I had to do. But I was not in training. I did not have a trainer. I wasn't. You know, the kids are growing. They don't need this stuff. I'm telling you, they do not need it. And they need the love of mom and dad and that time of sharing. And they have responsibilities and things they do. And they have to keep up on their schoolwork or whatnot. But at the same time, there really is no reason for them to be pressured into all these situations. They're pressured into at a very, very, very young age. And and we saddle them with that. And now, you know, we're even having issues that in school that we've really never, ever had. And sorry, we just had some folks walk in on me. But anyway, you know, one of the things that we struggle with, that the kids are struggling with today, is all the issues of different types of sexuality that come up in the school that never came up before. It was pretty simple when we grew up. You know, you had a boyfriend, you had a girlfriend. I mean, those things were held pretty simple. But now it seems like that's another thing they have to think about in school, is all those different dynamics coming up within what they're learning and where they are, and just more pressure once again. Going home with mom and dad this weekend, or going home with dad, going home with mom next weekend. Does mom have a new boyfriend? Does dad have a new girlfriend? Where do I go for the summer? These are all pressures kids don't need. And we wonder why many times today kids just, you know, the first time something comes along that's going to let that numb that mind a little bit. It's like, yeah, sure. Or they're coaxed into it, or, okay, I'll just try this once. And they find out that temporarily it makes them feel better. And before you know it, they have a problem. And that's one of the points. Families need to stay together. They so truly do. I know situations happen where that doesn't happen. And then there needs to be those of us out there that are willing to come alongside and support and show that love of Christ I talked about, and which we should all the time. But you know, really, it's something that families truly need to do.
Yeah. I mean, because ultimately, that's what's gonna relieve them of any, you know, basically of any problems that they would have. I mean, would be that love, you know, I mean, as far as getting through them and things like that. So.
Yeah, I don't think, I think, too, that we're afraid, unfortunately, we're afraid in many cases to mentor young people the way we used to when somebody needs that. Because, oh, my word, today it's just like we can't be alone. You know, we have rules in the church. You can't have one adult alone with a kid. You have to have two. Because of all these things that that come up,
yeah.
And it makes it people are a little more standoffish. Like, whoa, I don't know about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know many times I've had a young person ask me to take them home, a young lady or something, take them home from something, and I've got to get someone to go with me or send them with another lady. I just can't.
Right.
And those kind of things. So. People have a tendency to, you know, want to pull back a little bit. There's a lot of things that, you know, we just have to go ahead and do.
Mm-hmm.
And know that, you know, God, you know, you got me on this one, but I need to do what you need me to do here.
Right.
And I think that in society today, a lot of people are just, we're closing doors. We're closing our own doors. People go to their house and shut their doors. They're insulated from the world outside. And they can live on their social media. They can live on their TV. Uh-huh. And they don't have to worry about personal interaction with people. We're seeing it more and more every day. Right. Remember Tool Time?
Yep.
Where they were over the back fence? You know, there isn't as much of that anymore.
Right.
You know, people have neighbors they've never spoke to.
Right.
Or don't know anything about. Yeah. And it's sad, really. We've got to get back out there and start being vulnerable again.
Well, I on a daily basis, I talk to people. You know, they have houses in the woods, and you know, and they just.
No, I'd like a house in the woods.
But you know, I mean,
like just
say,
to get away.
Like
and
you say, their neighbors are so you know so far away. You know, and it's just.
Well, you know,
so social. I mean, nobody's really social in that.
Sometimes, Terry, when you are social, people come out and they think, man, this guy's kind of weird. He can't, you know, what's he doing? Come over talking to me. And,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, really?
Right.
That's just not the way it used to be.
Right.
You know, I've shared before on the show, and I know with Scott, I've shared that my mom and dad, when where I was born, was in a very blue-collar neighborhood in Columbus years ago. And my mom always said over the years, we didn't live there much longer after I was born, but my mom always said it was her favorite place to live because nobody wore a mask and everyone was there for everybody because no one had anything and everybody knew it.
Yeah.
So they
same like my neighbor grew same way. I mean,
you know, they didn't have to pretend to be someone they weren't because everybody really knew what was going on. Exactly. I wish we lived that way today.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, it's like in our church at Community Christian in Prospect, the we have people from every walk of life. We have people from, and I don't know the income of the people in our church. I don't want to know. And I know there's people that probably do pretty well, and there's people that don't do well at all. And you wouldn't know who they were. You know, it's not a thing of we don't have people dressing for to impress people. It's just people. And they know each other, and they care about one another. And, man, that's, I wish that we would just do more and more and more of that.
Yeah.
We're getting down there, aren't we?
We're getting there. Time's getting there, yeah.
Time's getting there. Yeah. You know, this has kind of been a fun show.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Kind of enjoying it. You guys going through some changes here. Hey, do you know that we are now, as you do know, the audience may not, we're the only live talk show in Marion now.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that, in the mornings here, yeah.
In the mornings here. So if you like, I like talk radio. I like listening to it. I'd rather listen to it than some of the music that's out there. Sometimes I like music, but then, man, they bring something else. Whoa, shut that off.
Yeah.
I like talk radio. And I always encourage people, if they want to call in and talk and enjoy the conversation, they certainly can.
Absolutely.
So what do you think?
Well, I think it's been a great show. You know, like I say, I really enjoyed your message today. I thought, you know, it's a very truthful message. It's a very...
Absolutely.
You know, I think that it's something that definitely you could walk away from and just maybe stop and realize that if you're not doing that, you should do that.
Yeah,
know?
It's
as
time.
As far as the, being truthful with yourself and being truthful with, the, you know... And,
wouldn't it be a shame to go to your grave wearing a mask?
Yeah.
Now, I know Tut did that, didn't he?
Yeah, King Tut, yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I want people to know who I am and who I represent,
right,
which is God.
Right, sure.
And I want my children to know who I am and my friends to. I don't want them to have questions about anything about who I am. I want that to be completely on the table so that everyone knows that.
Yeah.
And when I do hide something, that's another thing, too. Sometimes we hide things because men can be very... fear of vulnerability on talking on a lot of subjects. Women seem to have a little easier time talking to women, but try to have a good accountability partner in life, someone that you can go to and say, hey, you know, I'm dealing with this, help me out. And
not be afraid to ask.
And not be afraid to ask.
Yeah.
And to have that trust,
yeah,
that someone's not going to use it in a bad way.
Right, right.
And,
right.
That's important too. You know, if we're living with if our lives are an open book, mm-hmm, no one's going to say anything about us anyway that anyone's going to believe other than what they see in that open book.
Sure.
So the point is, be honest, be upfront with who you are, and you really don't have much of a problem.
Right.
We get into a problem when we wear the mask.
Yeah.
And when we try to be somebody that we're not. We got 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
Well, what can we talk about in 3 minutes other than it's going to be a beautiful weekend? We do have the outreach coming up with a community on the 2nd in Prospect at CCF. We have Bible school coming up the second week, the 8th through the 11th. I've got that wrong. But anyway, Bible school coming up in Prospect. Prospect this year will be held at the St. Paul's Lutheran. We do it as a community. And so please contact our number of Prospect at our church is 740-494-2222. Call us if you want your kids to go to Bible school, and it's a great experience. It really is. But a lot of neat stuff going on this summer.
And you're still doing the food program.
Yeah, we do the free lunch every day for kids, school age kids, and anyone over 60. And that's Monday through Thursday from 11:30 to 12:30. And the cook is safe. It's my wife. But she's cooked for years, and she used to cook at the hospital. That was her job. But she great lunches, and she even has a menu so that you can, what I mean is for the week, so people know what's going to be each day, and if you don't like something, that's the day. But anyway, it's turned out pretty well, and it's helping kids and older people in the community, and, you know, continue to do this. Enjoyable. You know, really like it.
Well, just give them the info one more time, and if they need to get a hold of you or whatever,
We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our number is 740-494-2222, or you can reach us at prospectccf.com. And, hey, if you want to call that number, leave a message. If you need to talk to somebody, I'll talk to anybody anytime about anything. So I just want to let you know that door is open. God bless you guys. Have a great week. And Terry, we'll see you, buddy.
All right. Take care, guys.